The Czech Republic has many claims to fame, but one of its greatest and most curious regarding the arts is the country's unique history of Cubist architecture, celebrated in an exhibition and recent new book named Czech Architectural Cubism. Both book and exhibit provide a comprehensive and fascinating overview of the brief periods before and after World War I, which saw notable Czech architects inspired by Cubist principles. In fact, Czech architects were the first and only ones in the world to ever design original Cubist buildings. A look at their legacy in today's arts. Zdeněk Lukeš is one of the country's most respected architectural historians, and he is the person behind the exhibition on Cubist architecture currently on at Prague's Jaroslav Fragner Gallery. That is a collaborative effort with young architectural photographer Esther Havlova, who photographed dozens of chosen sites in black and white for the show and book. Mr. Lukeš is a specialist in the unique period of Cubist architecture, and when I met with him recently, he began by explaining how the movement in Paris most unusually inspired Czech architects here. It was only 3 or 4 years after Picasso completed Les Demoiselles d'Avignon in 1907, widely considered the first Cubist painting. The impact of the Cubist movement on architecture in the Czech lands was short-lived, but it was profound.
Of course, Cubism in art was born in Paris, thanks to Pablo Picasso. But Cubism was accepted by many of Czech painters and sculptors, names like Otto Gutfreund or Emil Fila or Antonín Procházka, who traveled between Prague and Paris in that period. Prague was a very important center of Cubism in art from 1910 about. And Pavel Janák, who was architect, trained in Vienna and lived in Prague in that period, was inspired by Cubism because he was in struggle with a leading architect of that period, Jan Kotěra, and his very rational architecture. And Janák thought that architecture must be something very creative.
Until then, Pavel Janák had been a member of the Manis Association of Fine Arts, but he left to co-found the more avant-garde group of artists, and soon began a new publication. In 1911, he wrote The Prism and the Pyramid, an influential essay outlining Cubist precepts in architecture. Zdeněk Lukeš makes it clear that Janák was a driving force behind the movement in its first few years.
In 1911, he sketched crystals from the National Museum collection of mineralogy and tried to create something like a crystalline architecture with many motifs of pyramids and prisms, dynamic architecture, and close to expressionism more than rational architecture of Kotěra's circle. This style, called Cubism in architecture, was accepted by some people only, like Gočar, Chochol, Králíček, some others. And the period was very short because we could say that many people were against. Some theoreticians said that this is something like a betrayal on modern architecture. Of course, these buildings were expensive and bizarre. That's why the public was against. Short period, but very interesting, of course.
Both the exhibition and the book capture Czech Cubist architecture in two historic stages, roughly between the years 1911 to 1917, and then during the 1920s up to 1928. Architects like Jan Gočar, who designed Prague's house at the Black Madonna, or Emil Králíček, one of the most daring of the Cubist architects, are of course represented, as well as many others. In all, about 50 sites are featured, many famous but also a good number of lesser-known buildings. All the sites are captured in wide views as well as in thoughtful detail, and they are apartment houses, family villas, and factories. They all have unique elements. Not surprisingly, it was paramount that any exhibition or book capturing the work of the original architects needed to emphasize their use of geometric line and shape. I caught up with Mr. Lukeš's colleague, the photographer Esther Havlova, and asked her which formal considerations had proved important in photographing the Cubist sites.
Možná spíš ještě je důležitější světlo, protože Všechny stavby samozřejmě jsou lepší, když jsou fotografované.
I would say that the quality of the light was perhaps the single most important factor. Many buildings look good even when photographed, say, in soft light, but cubist structures benefit particularly from direct sunlight, which really brings out the lines and shadows. Harsh natural light then goes hand in hand with black and white, since black and white prints really bring out different aspects and details. Regarding the project, some buildings in Prague I had shot before, and I had material in my own personal archive. But many buildings I also shot for the first time on my own, and that took about 1 year. It was an interesting experience. Most private owners are well aware of their building's value and were interested and more than helpful. In general, I had no problems.
Většinou jsem se setkala s kladným přijetím.
Visitors to the exhibition or readers of the book will no doubt also be pleased to learn more about various sites. As historian Zdeněk Lukeš points out, for example, cubist villas were both costly and demanding, given that most of them were made of brick, which is difficult to cut into geometric shapes. Concrete was far more ideal as a material for cubist construction, since it could be poured into more dramatic geometric forms. In the book, other famous examples included are Otokar Novotný's and Emil Králíček's Kovařovič House along Prague's Vyšehrad embankment, described as a brilliant example of radical cubism. The well-known Diamond House with its diamond-shaped motifs along its facade and main portal is also featured, and no study of the cubist movement in Czech architecture would be complete without space devoted to a famous street lamp designed by Emil Králíček, which stands on Jungmann Square.
It's an interesting story because it was designed by Králíček in 1912 as a back part of Adam's pharmacy, the new building in Wenceslas Square. And I think that there was strong criticism against the lamp of conservative circles in Prague in that period. Now it's one of the best examples of cubism. And what is interesting that the lamp was inspiration for one film director here who created a special shot with Jeff Beck and Jan Hammer, famous American rockers. And it was created in early 90s. You could see the lamp dancing through the city of Prague with some examples of cubism.
Czech Architectural Cubism, the exhibition, lasts into February. The book, written in both English and Czech, is on sale now and truly serves as an excellent guidebook given that it includes a map of Cubist locations not only in Prague, but also in other parts of the Czech Republic.